Orange County Family Court statistics indicate the divorce rate in our county last year was 80%. It's unclear whether the divorce was first, second, or third marriages. In the U.S., Census Bureau figures show over 50% of children live in homes where one of the adults isn't the biological parent. In step families, there is a multitude of conflicts which can be resolved if the family's open to learning how to handle them. Good evening. You're listening to Collage, a weekly public affairs show on Jazz FM 88.5 KSBR. And our guest works with parents and children and step families to help them resolve conflicts. Los Alamitos family, marriage family therapist Yaffa Balsam has been helping clients for 20 years. She specializes in helping remarried couples with children. Well, Yaffa, what is the most common reason people come to see you?
The most common reason, Dawn, is when a couple comes in feeling a lot of pain over their inability to create a sense of belonging to the family for all their family members. People come in and they feel that the biological parent in the other household is sabotaging the merging of the family. And unfortunately, sometimes the children feel the divided loyalties. They feel a need to stay loyal to the parent in the other household, and they are very guarded with the new step-parent. So people come in very frustrated, not knowing what else to do and how to help the kids feel more at home in their family.
Can you give us a scenario?
Well, recently I was sitting with a couple who's been married for a couple of years, and their 12-year-old daughter was saying that she doesn't have to listen to the stepmother because her mother told her that she's not her mother and that she needs to listen only to her mother, and that the stepmother has no power over her. And so, unfortunately, the husband, because of a lot of guilt because of the end of the first marriage, was not very supportive of his wife and her attempt to get closer to his daughter. Additionally, though, what the couple didn't know, and I helped them learn, is that really it should be about a year and a half to 2 years before a step-parent should start disciplining a child. And because the stepmother was so eager to create a sense of family for the stepdaughter, she attempted to discipline her way prematurely before any relationship was established. And so the daughter really didn't have any fun memories yet to fall back on when the stepmother tried to discipline her.
So what ultimately happened?
Well, ultimately, I encouraged the father to be more proactive in his daughter's life. And I encouraged the stepmother to start having short and small outings with the stepdaughter to help them bond and build some traditions together, like they would go and have a manicure together, or they would go shopping just for an hour or two, just so they can get to know each other without the father in the picture. Because what I find is that children and step-parents often develop a relationship much easier and much better when the biological parent is not present. And so in this family, once the stepmother backed off from the discipline and started developing a fun relationship with the stepdaughter opened up and started appreciating and respecting and looking forward to seeing the stepmother. And then we encouraged, and this was an unusual but welcoming state where the biological mother was willing to come in for one session and to learn about how she can best help her daughter adjust to the new step family. And ultimately, I always tell people that what's important is to think about what's in the best interest of your children. And the biological mother was graceful enough to understand and to appreciate it and to support her daughter in her adjustment to the step family.
Did you talk to the child?
I talked to the child too, and the child by herself admitted that she has the divided loyalties where she's afraid to like the stepmother because she's afraid that her own mother will be sad and hurt and feel threatened that she's accepting a new woman into her life. And only after I was able to talk to the biological mother and actually have the daughter and the mother together, that the daughter got the emotional permission from the biological mother to like and respect the stepmother. And that really helped improve the relationship tremendously.
Now, from your experience, is that really the case that the child has the divided loyalties, but is it founded, the divided loyalties?
The divided loyalties are founded, especially when the biological parent in the other household is really telling the children, don't like your step-parent, don't listen to them, they're not your real parent. That creates the divided loyalties. When there is bitterness and an inability to accept the remarriage of a former spouse.
So what is the best interest of the child in this situation?
In the best interest of the child is for the parents to develop a co-parenting plan. It's for the two biological parents to be able to sit together and develop a plan, maybe even take a parenting class. They don't have to take it together, but if they can take it by the same instructor, at least they will be on the same page. And then some families like to have a journal that will go back and forth between the homes, and they each write what were the highlights of the stay with this parent or the other. And if there are any consequences or rewards that are going on, it enables the families to have continuity. And when the child feels that both parents parent them very close together, they feel loved, they feel that they have parents, and they feel that the divorce was between the adults and not from them.
Is it typical that children will feel that the divorce was their fault?
Yes, it's very typical, especially younger children. You know, children are very self-centered naturally. And when a divorce happens, oftentimes I hear from younger children, oh, if I only listened to mommy, if I only went to bed on time, if I only had better grades. I always hear those stories from the children. And unfortunately, sometimes some parents don't stop to take it seriously because the kids do think that it's they did something. They didn't eat their vegetables for dinner, and that caused the fight between the parents and led to a divorce. So the parents really need to talk and communicate with the children lovingly and to explain that it has nothing to do with them, that the divorce is only between the adults, and that the parenting will continue and the love and safety will continue to exist in spite of the divorce.
Now, is divorce bad on children?
Well, it's a good question, Dawn, because many people have there is a myth that children are damaged forever from divorce, and I disagree with that. I believe that children take their cues from their parents. If the parents go through the emotional divorce and grieve the loss of the biological family and the loss of the single parent family and other losses like the loss of the dream to have a biological family that will last forever, then the children will follow suit and will go on with their grieving process and resolve it and move on and forward. The message from the parents needs to be one of hope and optimism and looking forward to a better future.
How can they express that?
Well, they can tell them that it is very sad that as the adults, they stopped caring for each other as a husband and wife, and that it's very unfortunate that they were not able to resolve their differences. However, the differences have nothing to do with the children, and eventually they may meet or may not somebody else that will be more appropriate for them to build a family with. And in the meantime, during the single parent family phase, I strongly encourage people to not parentify their children. Oftentimes I find that a single parent parentifies, especially the older child. So I've seen several families in which the kids came in and they said, you know, I'm really worried about my mom. My mom is very sad all the time. She cries all the time. She doesn't go out. And my mother tells me all of the problems, financial, emotional, and otherwise. And some people even confide their dating problems with their children. And I think that that is a mistake. Because when the child feels that he or she needs to take care of the parents' emotions, then the child does not put their emotional energy into growing up properly, and their emotional development often suffers. And then when there is, when there is a remarriage, the child gets bumped off the role of being the confidant and the parentified child, and all of a sudden that child is expected to be a child again, and that child is greatly confused. And I've worked with some adults who had that experience with their parents, and they confused to this day, and only through working together they start making sense of what happened.
So many times a child potentially could go through trauma when parents are about to get divorced because of what actions may have led to the divorce.
Right, right. The child
could have heard, yelling and...
Right, right. The child is traumatized from the yelling, from the fights, from the name calling, from whatever they hear from the parents, that of course things that are said at a moment of anger, and sometimes the parents don't even remember that, but that is something that stays with the children. I remember one young adult telling me, remembering their parents fighting and the father leaving the house, and the child was like 4 at the time, and thinking, oh my God, I'm never going to see my dad again. And of course that didn't happen, but that event itself has traumatized the child, and nobody ever bothered to explain to him that it's just temporary. The parent will come back. So even when he saw the father coming back and eventually there was a divorce, he never had the safety and the security that this is not going to happen again.
So how should parents handle it when they're, if they're contemplating divorce, handle it with their child?
Well, I think that once people come to the conclusion that that's what they need to do, and they feel that they've exhausted every other way of reconciling their differences, they both need to sit with the children and explain to them that they have differences that they cannot solve, and that they feel that at this point in life, they need to live in 2 separate homes. And then also the conversation depends on the age of the child. To a younger child, you need to use very simple language. And to the older children, of course, you can explain a little more deeply. But the most important thing is to give the message to the children that no matter what, the co-parenting will exist and both parents will be in the child's life, sometimes equally, sometimes not, but always exist there and be there for the child no matter what happens and whenever they need them.
Is there an easier time for a child to experience divorce, whether being younger or being older?
I think that the younger age is easier.
And what ages are we talking about?
I would say about 5 to 10. These are easier ages for children. And there is really no easy time to experience a divorce for a child. No child wants to see, well, at least most children don't want to see their parents apart. But when it happens in adolescence, I find that it's much harder on the children because they're so involved in the individuation process of separating from their parents. And all of a sudden, when the parents get a divorce, they are really not able to do that as readily as they could have if everything was more peaceful at home. So I think that the teenage years, what I find is that there is much more acting out behavior by the teens, either sexually or with substances. And so I suggest that if you were able to wait until the child is 16 or 17, it probably would be easier if you waited until your child graduates high school.
In case you just joined us, you are listening to Collage, a weekly public affairs show on Jazz FM 88.5 KSBR. I'm Dawn Camber, and Orange County Family Court statistics indicate the divorce rate in our county last year was 80%. It's unclear whether the divorce was first, second, or third marriages. Our guest works with parents and children and set families to help them resolve conflicts. Los Alamitos marriage family therapist Yaffa Balsam has been helping clients for 20 years. She specializes in helping remarried couples with children. Well, share with us, okay, a couple gets divorced, but then they start the process to find somebody else, and then they get married again. What should transpire to make it easier on the children when there is a remarried situation?
Well, that's a great question, Dawn. What I like to suggest to people is that they would have, I created a 6-session plan for couples who are about to remarry. And I believe that in 6 sessions, I can help them iron out the differences, establish realistic expectations of their upcoming marriage, and establish co-parenting agreements between themselves and with the exes. And I feel that in the 6 sessions that they would have with me, they will learn to prevent so many of the problems that remarried couples make when they don't have the information.
Okay, so what happens in session one?
In session one, we do an overview of their own past relationships, because, see, one of the core issues in step families is unresolved grief over the loss of previous relationships and over the loss of grief, like I said before. So in session one, I assess if both or at least one of them who was married before really completed the grieving process over the previous relationship. Oftentimes I see that people are stuck in the anger stage, and people, when they're angry at the ex, oftentimes think, well, I'm not connected to the step anymore. I'm so mad at them. But usually the anger is part of the grieving process. And when they are stuck in that, they're not really emotionally open and available for a new relationship. And a lot of their emotional energy goes into fighting and into the revolving doors through the court system for custody and visitation issues. So that's what I do. I assess their place in the grieving process. And if they're done, it's great. And if not, I help them complete the grieving process. And usually there is a lot of value to that, because it does open up for the future relationship. Then I also assess differences in value systems. I give them homework assignment. Each and every session, you know, sends them home with a homework assignment about the value system, about parenting style. Sometimes I find couples with cultural differences. Sometimes there are religious differences. They need to know, if they're bringing kids from two different religions, how are they going to do that? And then we talk about exes, because exes, to me, is another core issue that really undermines and sabotages the chances of a successful step family. So we talk about how to manage a relationship with the ex, what is appropriate, what kind of boundaries should one set with an ex as far as, excuse me, communication. I've known some people who talk to each other 5 times a day, and they've been divorced for 5 years. It's not necessary usually. So I help them create a plan that will free them to be also present for the new family. And then I talk to them about the couple relationship. What is their expectation of each other as a man and a woman, as a couple? And sometimes their expectations are very different than one another, but they never really talked about it. So by addressing those issues and opening them up, a lot of times it's an eye-opener for the couple. And I often hear, oh, I didn't know that you thought that. I didn't know that you felt that way. Also, we address money issues. You know, money, the mine, yours and ours, is a huge issue in step families. And so what I like to do is I like to help the couple clarify that. Let's look at what is yours and what is mine and what is ours. How do you manage your household? What do you do when one of you makes $200,000 a year and the other one makes only $50,000? How do you divide the bill paying? And I like to do it by percentage rather than by amounts. And it seems to work really well. And then we talk about estate planning. What do they want? Sometimes you have parents who want to leave money to the stepchildren in their estate, and sometimes you don't, and that's fine. But as long as everything is clear and open and transparent, then the success rate of the step family is much higher.
Because you've dealt with second, third marriages, haven't you?
Right. Yeah. Often I see people who come and they are on the third or fourth marriage, where they have children from three different spouses. And how do you merge that family where you have to deal with two ex-spouses or three ex-spouses? And then you have a new spouse at home who says that you're spending too much time talking and negotiating with the other exes. And one ex doesn't allow the child to like your new spouse. And you have stepchildren. And now you're considering having an our child. That is a lot on your plate. So we work on really defining the rules and defining the boundaries. And when people establish boundaries and they're clear and they stick to them, everything becomes much easier.
So what is a successful step-parent family? I realize they vary, but can you give us some ideas?
The successful step-family to me is a family in which the adults learn to deal with the shame of previous failures in relationships, because to me that's one of the biggest obstacles to the success of the step-family. So once they learn to get rid of the shame and be proud of their newly formed family, to me, the successful step-family is one in which there is a lot of flexibility, where biological parents give permission to their children to develop relationships with the step-parents. It's a step-family in which the couple goes on dates, weekly dates. I know any relationship is important to have weekly dates, but especially in a step-family, in a remarried situation, I think that it's very important to have the weekly dates where they don't talk about the children. They have to have a rule, no talking about children, just talking about the issues for them as a couple. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I developed my program, Remarried with Children, a step-by-step program for steps with steps. It's a 12-week program that is educational, and every week when couples come in, they deal with a different topic. I deal with topics from the extended family and how grandparents and aunts and uncles can help the step family become cohesive. I deal with establishing a vision. I encourage people to write down a vision for their step family. What does it mean for you to be successful? And I go through all the details, from the colors on the walls and the furnishings and the smells in the kitchen and who is there and how the interaction looks like. And in the program, it's very interactive. And my next program starts in the fall. And you can call my office at 714-527-8111 or visit my website, which is www.connectingstepfamilies.com, and get more information, and you can get a printable flyer for this program. But this program, I feel that if remarried couples do attend the 12 weeks, they will have enough tools and practical tools to go home and implement every single week and then come back and get feedback and really succeed in embracing the family, even if the step-parents don't love their children, the step-children.
Give us the phone number and website again, please.
It's 714-527-8111, and the website is www.connectingstepfamilies.com, and you can also sign up for my free monthly newsletter and my 3-part e-course that is also free.
Through those means?
Yeah.
Give it again.
Okay, www.connectingstepfamilies.com and 714-527-8111, and I'll be more than happy to talk to anyone about your family and give you a short consultation over the phone. And you can also email me off of my website at yafa@connectingstepfamilies.com.
Now, in a step-family situation, is the non-biological parent supposed to act like a typical biological parent? I mean, I would think the child is confused.
I know, and it's true. Many children come in and they do say, well, she's not my mother or he's not my father. Why do I have to listen to them? And it's true that the step-parent is not the biological parent. However, the step-parent is an adult in the household, and as such, it's an adult who needs to be respected. And I think ideally, step-parents need to learn to embrace their stepchildren, even if they don't love them, and they don't have to love them. And the stepchildren don't have to love the step-parents, but they do have to be polite and courteous. So if a step-family can reach a place where there is courtesy and politeness among the step-parents and step-children, they've already conquered a major obstacle in the formation and cohesiveness of their family.
But in terms of who gives direction, authority, mm-hmm. is it the biological parent that has the authority, or does the step-parent have some authority?
Well, the step-parent has some authority. You know, there was a study that suggested that Step-parents should stay out of discipline for at least a year and a half after the marriage. And the reason being is that they don't have a history yet and a relationship to fall back on when they discipline the children. Also, the children coming from a divorced household, they have some abandonment issues potentially. And so you don't want to enhance that, because when the biological parent steps back and allows the step-parent to jump into discipline, the child feels emotionally abandoned by that parent. And it's crucial that, especially when you form a step-family, that you stay solid with your child and make sure that you maintain some traditions with the children. And the step-parent should be more like a friendly adult, and for at least a year and a half, like I said, to build some kind of a positive relationship. And so the child will still feel connected to their biological parent.
Well, what if the parent had dated this person who would become the step-parent for over a year and a half to 2 years? Does that qualify under your year and a half? Or are you saying the year and a half starts once the I do's are said?
It starts once the I do's are said. But even in a live-in situation, it could work. But I don't recommend that people introduce their children to a potential spouse or a potential step-parent for at least 6 months into the dating. I think that the first 6 months need to be without the children. The children should not be involved, because remember, you know, if your new partner is nice, the children are going to like him or her. And then if you break up, the children will have to sustain another loss. And it's not fair to your children. So please keep the children out of the dating. It's better to see the new person less and you spend some time alone with the kids, and don't bring the kids in. I can't emphasize this enough. All too often I see sad and upset children because their parent broke up with a new partner and now they can't see them anymore.
Do couples tell you if their marriage didn't work out after they've seen you after a while?
Sometimes they get back to me. I had one case that was interesting where a couple got married and the two stepchildren were teenagers. And the new spouse, who has never been married before, never had biological children before, decided, based on reading online, that teenagers who close the door to their room are depressed. And when his stepsons wanted to close the door to their rooms, he forbade them to do that. So the mother was very upset and she disagreed with him, but it's been going on for months and months, and all he was willing to compromise on is leaving the door ajar. But at the end of the day, she divorced him because he interfered too much and too early in parenting of her children.
So ultimately, children can be a cause, not deliberately, or maybe it is deliberately, in second or third marriage divorces.
Children and exes are the biggest reasons for second and third divorces. Because, you know, a biological couple, a biological family is difficult to build and to maintain, as we know, and that's why we have so many divorces. But in a second marriage, when the couple had no chance in a honeymoon, they didn't have a chance to get to know each other without the parenting component. And the parenting piece is huge, especially when the children are young and they need hands-on parenting. The couple has to be very vigilant to carve out time for themselves to function as a couple. But they do start out without a honeymoon, and so that makes the relationship so much more complicated. And they see each other in a light that when they start out without children, they don't see that yet. And they grow into parenting in a biological family. Here, you have the parenting built in.
You have been listening to Collage, a weekly public affairs show on Jazz FM 88.5 KSBR. I'm Dawn Camber, and our guest works with parents and children and stepfamilies to help them resolve conflicts. Los Alamitos marriage family therapist Yaffa Balsam has been helping clients for 20 years. She specializes in helping remarried couples with children. She can be reached at 714-527-8111. Please join us next week for another show right here on Jazz FM 88.5 KSBR.